The Hawks have won their last three games. Welcome to The Hawks Report, a podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you the stories behind the score. I'm your host, Lauren Williams, the Hawks beat reporter at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And as always, I'm excited to be with you guys here talking about the Hawks and what we've gotten to see over the last week. We've seen some good stuff. We've seen some all right stuff. But the good news is the Hawks are on a three-game winning streak. They're continuing to solidify their spot as the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference and a shot at the playoffs. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever it is you guys get your podcasts. This is the Hawks Report from the AJC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you hadn't heard, the Hawks have won three in a row. I've now mentioned this at least three times on this podcast, but yeah, it's been interesting how they've won each of those matchups in, I feel like, completely different ways. But the good news is they've got three wins in a row. They're solidifying their spot, you know, as that final space in the Eastern Conference standings. They've kind of locked in that 10th seed for the play-in tournament with, nine games to go now, which is crazy to say. But yeah, they've won some interesting matchups over this last week. They beat the Hornets in convincing fashion on Saturday night, downing them 132-91. Then had a furious comeback in their matchup against the Celtics on Monday night, erasing a 30-point deficit to come back and beat them by two. And then, you know, they had a really convincing win over the Trailblazers despite a shaky start, beating them 120-106 on Wednesday night. Of course, at the time that we are recording this podcast on Thursday morning, they have not played their second of two matchups in the last, you know, couple of days against the Celtics. So, of course, we won't be able to talk about that until next week's podcast. But yeah, Daniel Salerson, always joining us here, handy dandy trusty producer Daniel Salerson. It's been quite a ride for the Hawks this past week, and each of the wins have come, like I said, in very different ways.
Yeah, not all wins are created equal, and the Hawks are a prime example of that in these last three games. Maybe just a little home cooking is what they needed after that tough West Coast trip. And you're right, them doing it in so many different ways, it's been exciting. And the fact that this team is still fighting and playing really hard despite all the injuries, you added Jalen Johnson back as he's out with that ankle. You said Okongwu out. You already have Trae Young out. And when you're looking at other teams around the league that are dealing with injuries, you can just see the fallout from them. Look what Toronto's done since they traded Siakam. Look what's happened to the Sixers when Embiid's gone. I know they're fighting, but like, the Hawks could easily just said, well, this is not going to work out. Trey's out. You know, let's just, you know, get ready for next year. But they're now creeping up on the ninth seed in Chicago. I mean, they can realistically technically move up to nine if they wanted to. Not if they want to, if they can in these last couple weeks of the season. But you're getting contributions from so many different people. Of course, DeJounte is the one that's really stepping up, and we'll hear from him in a little bit. But the bench has been really stepping up. Garrison Matthews, Vic Krejci, Dylan Windler had a great game against Portland. And that comeback against Boston, I mean, there's, I saw a tweet from Mike Conley before that win against Boston. There was only 8 30-point comebacks in league history until the Hawks made it number 9 against Boston, a very, very good Boston team. And I think even coming off of Wednesday's win against Portland, that game could have been just as tough just because you're facing a young Blazers team that has nothing to play for coming off that high of a win against Boston, and you still, for much part, were in pretty much cruise control the entire way. So nothing but good things to say right now about the Hawks. They're playing well. They're putting on a show for the fans, and it's been really exciting to see.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that has been intriguing is just how they've continued to do that without Trae Young in the rotation. We were able to get an update on him, you know, regarding where he is in his recovery process after having surgery to repair a torn ligament in his left pinky finger that's on his non-shooting hand. So, you know, they just released that he will be just kind of getting back into small finger motions. So obviously for a team that's looking to, you know, keep making pushes in this final stretch of the season, obviously you want to hear that he's a little bit further along in the recovery, but the fact that, you know, he's gotten the all clear to kind of start strengthening that finger again, you know, maybe it's a good sign that, you know, he'll be ready for that play-in game, which I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they're targeting.
I think that makes sense just because the way the Hawks are playing, it gives him a little bit more time because they basically have solidified 10 for the most part. You're still chasing 9 technically, but if you continue to play like this and hold your ground, then you put yourself in a position to let Trae rest, maybe get him in for the last couple regular season games if possible, just to get his you know, his conditioning back a little bit, and then get him for the play, and then who knows what can happen. You win a couple games like they've done before, and you have a playoff series. So it's good to see that, you know, hopefully soon he'll be able to ramp things up, and I know that this team could certainly use him.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as well as they're playing without him, you still have some concerns regarding just consistent offense. Obviously, we've seen some really, really great internal development, as you mentioned, from guys like Vete Krejci, Garrison Matthews. Bruno Fernando had a really big game against the Charlotte Hornets. And we'll get into, you know, how those three guys, along with the rest of the bench, has been playing later in the show. But it's a really good sign to see so many of those guys that at the beginning of the season, we never expected them to have a huge role in the rotation. Obviously, you know, when it's in any given NBA season, you expect there to be injuries, but you never expect them to be as critical as they have been to the Hawks. You mentioned Jalen Johnson. You know, we've seen Onyeka Okongwu out for the last few games with a left big toe sprain. You know, all of the, you know, the two rookies that they had, Seth Lundy just made his return to the G League team in College Park and shot the ball really well. But, you know, as I mentioned, you never expect to see guys like Garrison Matthews and Vete Krejci and Bruno Fernando have extended minutes like they have, just because of how bad the Hawks have had to deal with injuries this season. But the fact that we're kind of seeing, you know, some positive returns on the team's, one of the team's priorities, which was internal development, kind of shine through. You don't often get to see that. And the fact that we're actually getting to see it is a good sign for what this Hawks team is trying to do as far as building a culture, as far as developing guys within their system. It shows that, you know, the groundwork for a system is kind of coming into fruition, coming into place. Yeah, it's definitely a great sign to see that this Hawks team has tried to, you know, find numerous ways to weather the injury bug and seeing guys, as I mentioned, like Vete Krejci and Garrison Matthews, Bruno Fernando, and the list can go on, you know, show actual signs of development, you know, continues to show that this team under, you know, this leadership of Quinn Snyder has kind of laid the groundwork for a system and a cultural shift in place. But yeah, I think no better sort of example of kind of how this foundation has been laid and we're seeing some positive results and is in this comeback win that they had over the Celtics on Monday night. I think one of the things that really stood out to me was when you go from the top of the roster all the way down to the 10th man or the 11th man who played, you could pick out pretty much a moment from every person on that squad, and you could say that it was a pivotal moment. Obviously, things shift as the game progresses, but you can, like I said, you can go down the list. You have DeJounte Murray's play in the first half that kind of stabilized things for a little bit. Then you have the bench sort of kicking off an 18-6 run, and then the starters coming in and kind of finishing it out. The second quarter or second half, you can point to DeAndre Hunter and Bogdan Bogdanovic kicking things off. Dre having a huge dunk at the start of the quarter, and Bogey starting to get shots down. And then V kind of, you know, really showing off that he does belong in NBA and scoring 13 of his, you know, career tying 16 points in that third quarter. I think that was a pivotal moment just because you could see that the Celtics were trying to kind of come back, and Joe Mazzulla would call timeouts here and there. But, you know, Veet's personal 8-0 run really, really kind of lit the fire under the Celtics' butt to really start taking things a little bit more seriously. But for them, shots stopped falling, whereas the Hawks, they continue to do everything right. They continue to move the ball. They continue to play really great defense, and it paid off for them. Then you have a guy like, as I mentioned, Wesley Matthews, who had some really, really good defense on Jason Tatum in that second half. And, you know, being able to shut a guy like Tatum down is incredibly crucial, just because Boston has so many guys on that roster who can get hot at any minute. And obviously the head of the snake is Jason Tatum, and then of course his co-conspirator in Jaylen Brown. But, you know, I don't think we can talk about that comeback without hearing from the man himself, Veet Krejci, on what he was able to do and what he saw from his teammates that helped them spark that comeback.
I think, you know, at the halftime we were talking about never giving up, you know, and we knew that, you know, they made some tough shots. We just knew that we got to continue to do our stuff and, you know, trusting our shots, and you know, shots start falling in the third, and we got our confidence, and then we were just rolling. I mean, it felt like everything we were doing was going for us, you know. So it was a really good moment, and we just gotta find a way to feel that way, you know, throughout the whole game, and not just, you know, parts of the game.
So, of course, it's always great that this team continues to find ways to lean on each other, continue to find ways to be an unselfish team. And that's something that Quinn Snyder wanted to be a marker of this franchise, is that they're a team that is willing to sacrifice for each other. And on Monday night, we saw that, because as I mentioned, you go up and down the roster and you can pinpoint a moment in that game where everyone had a major contribution. But while that win over the Celtics on Monday night was absolutely huge, and you know, it can send the emotions up pretty high, they had another win against the Trailblazers, who, you know, is a young, scrappy team that's trying to figure it out. They're trying to fight for jobs in the NBA. And while this season hasn't gone the way that they've, you know, maybe wanted to, particularly with their rookie Scoot Henderson and second year guard Shaedon Sharpe, you know, there's still several people on that team who made life really tough for the Hawks. I mean, you know, the Hawks came into that game, as I mentioned, high off of their win over the Celtics, and you could tell that they kind of were a little lackadaisical with how they started. While they started out on a 6-0 run, you had guys all over the place for Portland getting hot at any given minute. And they, like I said, they made it really tough for the Hawks. They outscored them 29-26 in the first quarter, but then the Hawks eventually figured things out and, you know, kind of won the next two quarters. But as we said at the top of the show, all three of these wins came in different ways. And I think this is the first time this season that, you know, we've seen them go, I guess you could also say for the Charlotte game, but you know, twice in the last three games, this team is winning games that ideally on paper they were supposed to win. And it's just great to see them buckle down and continue to lean on themselves. And I think one of the big things is that we saw DeJounte Murray really kind of lay the groundwork and set the tone for this team. Again, it was an unselfish game. I think there have been moments where, you know, we've criticized whether it be Trae Young or DeJounte Murray having a high volume of shots that they put up or attempts that they make. And you can see that they're really inefficient games, even though they're still finding ways to move the ball. You know, it's not the most efficient of nights, but DJ had just one of the most phenomenal games. I would say it's probably one of his best games of the season so far, just because, as we said, he was getting everyone involved. You know, he was, as Quinn Snyder said, setting the tone. And here's Quinn on how DeJounte performed and how impactful it was for them in this win over the Trailblazers.
DeJounte, you know, he was questionable, I think, before the game with some back stuff that he's, you know, he's had before this year. But I thought he really set the tone. This may have been, he's had a lot of good games, but in some ways this was his efficiency tonight was just terrific. You know, I thought picking his spots, you know, he got 20 shots, which were 20 great shots, and he set people up. He's getting mad at his teammates when they don't shoot. I told him one time Hunt bobbled it, and he said, I'll throw him a better pass. You know, so on the defensive end as well. And I thought, you know, as I said, you know, I thought he really set the tone for us. And this was a tough game. This was a really good win.
So, yeah, really efficient night for DeJounte. He was 13 of 20 overall from the floor, 4 of 8 from 3. And earlier in the game, it was even more efficient. I remember talking to, shout out to Jamila Johnson of Atlanta Hawks fans, and we just marveled at how he was just so disciplined. There were maybe a few shots that we looked at each other and wondered, why did he take that shot? But it was far less than maybe we've had this season. And we were very impressed with how DeJounte moved the ball, found guys for big plays, made the right plays. And he often talks about playing the right way and getting everyone involved. And I think one of the big things is you can see the trust growing between these guys on the court. And DJ said it best himself about what allowed him to have a game like he did on Wednesday night. But here's what he actually had to say, though, about beating Portland coming off of the big win over Boston on Monday. And I think that is probably a really great outlook from him on that.
A lot of people keep saying, you know, that was a big win. I mean, obviously, we know they have identity. They're probably the best team in the league right now. But in any given night, any team could be beat. So I don't think we go into no game saying we're going to lose tonight. We're all confidence guys, and that was a great night, but that was in the past. You know, today we played Portland Trailblazers, you know, and they came out, you know, a bunch of guys, young guys trying to make a name for themselves, playing hard, being aggressive. So those nights are more to worry about against those nights, because you could see, you know, a lot of slippers, and we stayed together, and you know, we got a great win.
So, of course, they're going to have to keep themselves even keeled because they face the Celtics on Thursday night again. Again, it's the second time in, as we say, three games that they've played the Celtics. And I'm pretty sure the Celtics are going to want to come out for blood after falling to them and giving up a 30-point lead. So the Hawks are going to have to absolutely be ready to go on Thursday night. And I think with the way that DeJounte has kind of rallied everyone in the wake of all of these injuries and how all of the players who are injured are remaining engaged and celebrating each other, and we're seeing kind of a shift in how this team operates, and I think that's going to be critical for the postseason if they want to make a big run. But we're going to take a quick break because we absolutely have to talk about what the bench has been doing in these last 3-4 games. This is the Hawks Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Hawks Report. As always, we are excited to announce a great deal for a greater Atlanta. For a limited time, subscribe and you'll get digital access to the AJC for just $1.99 per week for life. Yes, you heard it correctly. I said for life. As long as you keep your subscription, you have access to the substance and soul of the South, including breaking news and in-depth investigations, food, sports, business, and more from AJC.com every day. Say it with me for the rest of your life. Subscribe now by going to AJC.com/start. That's AJC.com/start for new subscribers to take advantage of the South's biggest deal. So, as we mentioned at the top of the show, a big part of why we've seen the bench stepping up is just the internal development and growth that they've had with so many injuries affecting this team. But I think we would be absolutely remiss not to talk about how Beat Krejci and Garrison Matthews and Bruno Fernando and so many more have just really stepped up over the last few games. As I mentioned at the first half of this show, Beat Krejci putting up a career-tying 16 points in the team's comeback win over the Celtics was huge. And I think one of the biggest things is that you could just see how confident he has gotten since he has kind of moved into the starting lineup when, unfortunately for the Hawks, Sadiq Bey went out with an ACL, a torn ACL in his right knee. And we haven't gotten any updates yet on what that entails for Sadiq. And, you know, obviously there's a plan to get surgery, but there's so many things that he has to figure out. I think the team is giving him some space to kind of work through that, because that is a really big blow. But in that, we have guys, as we say, it's a next man up mentality, and Veet has kind of embodied that, particularly over the last 3 or 4 games here. You know, when he signed with the team back in December, you know, he came aboard and didn't even really get a chance to settle in before he had a shoulder injury that sidelined him for about 20 games or so. And, you know, they eventually sent him down to College Park, and then, you know, they brought him back up, and he only played about 3 minutes in his first game back before the All-Star break on February 14th against the Hornets. And, you know, he only played 3 minutes before that injury to Sadiq. And then all of a sudden, the team has bumped into the starting lineup because they need size. Beat Krejci stands at 6'8", and he's shown how much growth he has as a defender. And Quinn Snyder pointed to his work in College Park and how they want the Skyhawks to be, these are his words, a defensive incubator. And so Veet has really used his length and his wingspan to be disruptive. He's had, you know, a couple steals over the last, in 3 of the last 4, or 2 of the last 4 games, excuse me. And he's been moving his feet really well. We've seen him in situations where defenders will attack him, and he's had some really great on the ball defense, disrupting shots, forcing misses, getting in position for guys to get rebounds. And it's just been honestly really amazing watching his confidence grow over, you know, this 10 game span that he's had since he's been injected into the starting lineup. I think one of the big things is that he's also really starting to find his way as a scorer. You know, in the last 5 games, he's averaged, and it may not seem like a lot to some people, but for a guy like Veet, who didn't even play a lot of minutes last season and is getting, you know, an average of, you know, 30 or more this season, it's huge. But he's averaging 10.4 points. He's averaging 2.8 assists, 3.2 rebounds, shooting 53.8%, let's say 54% from the field. And he's knocking down 41% of his shots from three. That's huge. And so if he can continue to sort of build on what he's been able to do, I think he could be a really huge contributing member of this Hawks rotation. I think one of the big things he's just got to do is keep his level of positivity and confidence up consistently, because there have been moments in games where you can see where if he misses a shot or if he misses a defensive assignment, it affects him on the next possession. But I think this is where we've seen a guy like DeJounte be a leader and kind of continue to get in the ear of his teammates. And Quinn Snyder had a very funny, and Garrison Matthews also backed this up, but Quinn Snyder had a very funny anecdote about DeJounte and how he gets mad at his teammates whenever they're not aggressive with shooting the ball or attacking the basket. And I think that's a huge thing to have a leader like that, that not only that you respect and you appreciate, but is also, you know, finding ways to pull the most out of you. And so I think we've seen that sort of pay off with a guy like Veet Krejci, but also someone like Garrison Matthews, who we've seen an uptick in attempts per game. Not only is it DeJounte, who of course is in his ear, but also the player development staff who are encouraging him to shoot the ball. And Quinn Snyder's actually said it himself too, where he won't get mad if you take the shot, or even if you miss the shot, but he'll get more disappointed if you pass up the shot or you hesitate. And so I think for a team like last year that didn't really attempt a lot of three-pointers, we've seen a huge uptick, but it's also paid off in ways where they've continued to be efficient. I think one of the things that has stood out to me about this team, and don't worry, I'll get back to Garrison because he's played phenomenally over the last few games, but I think one of the big things that I've noticed about this team is that they've shot 50% or better in about, you know, 3 of their last 5 games or so. And that is huge. And then when you expand that to about 10 games, it goes up to about 4. So I think that's a pretty good sign that what Snyder is preaching and pushing is kind of finally setting in, especially as this team continues to improve its spacing, continues to move off the ball more and continue to move the ball so that they find a higher percentage shot. But a guy like Garrison has really thrived in that, because over the last 5 games, as I mentioned, we've seen a bit of an uptick in his shooting. And I think one of the best ways to illustrate it is before the All-Star break, he was averaging about 2.1 three-point attempts per game. And that number has ticked up to about 3.2. But in 2 of his last 3 games, he's averaging more than 6 attempts per game. He was 4-for-6 in that game against the Hornets. He was 5-for-9 against the Trailblazers. And so again, I think those are ways that these guys will continue to carve out space for them in this rotation. They really do believe in the talent that they have. I think one of the big things is that this team has in some ways lacked a lot of confidence, particularly with the end of bench guys, just because they didn't get a lot of minutes, you know, prior to this huge stretch of injuries that they've had for this team. And so I think that the best way for guys to, of course, gain reps is, through game minutes. There's nothing that's going to replicate that in any way. And obviously there's a big shift between the minutes they might get in the G League and then the minutes that they get in the NBA, but both are still invaluable. And so we're seeing some of that pay off with that internal development and all the work that they've put in. And so I think the more that we can see guys like Garrison shoot, we've seen how intense he is on the defensive end. Now he has to take that intensity and aggression on the offensive end. And I think that's how he's going to continue to earn minutes, whether it's with the Hawks or with another team. But another guy who we've seen take off is Bruno Fernando, and he had a career high 25 points in that win over the Hornets. And he was absolutely killing them. He was attacking the glass. He was attacking the rim. And again, you're seeing confidence shine through, and it paid off in that game against the Celtics on Monday night, just because, you know, there's carryover in how you have a certain mentality, and maybe he may not have been the most, you know, present defender. Actually, scratch that. He was one of the more present defenders, just because he was making life tough on Luke Kornet. Actually, I do remember now that I think back to that game, but he had that really, really beautiful spin move on Kornet where he was able to create space and get to the rim with his right hand. And I remember thinking, wow, Bruno's in his bag. And in that game, he followed up his career night with 13 points and on a very efficient, so that's why I had to correct myself, but a very efficient 6 of 7 shooting from the floor. And he even had a 3-point attempt in that Charlotte game, which drew some laughs from his teammates. But I think one of the spaces that I want to see Bruno continue to improve is actually at the free throw line, because that's just where I feel like it's kind of cost him a little bit, because he does draw a lot of contact as a big playing in the post, especially when he's going up for rebounds, and particularly on the offensive glass. Over the last, you know, 5 games, he's missed a few, and, you know, he shot 75% on a few of those nights, but you still want to see guys like Bruno Fernando capitalize when they do get to the line. And that's just something that the Hawks have, you know, had a little bit of trouble with their bigs outside of maybe Onyeka Okongwu. So they're obviously always spaces that this team can improve, and that's just one of the things that I've seen with the bigs. They've just kind of struggled at the free throw line a little bit, especially considering that they typically get to the free throw line a little bit more. They're both second and third in terms of lowest free throw percentage on this team, and outside of Trey, they're about 5th and 6th in terms of free throw attempts per game. So you just kind of want to see them take advantage of that a little bit more. But I think one of the things that I'm excited about for Thursday night is just seeing how much this team, particularly these guys who have gotten so many more minutes over the last, you know, 2 weeks or so, is just how they continue to carry over the confidence that they've started to develop, particularly because they're going to be facing the lead-leading Celtics again. And so you want to see them continue to have a big night. You want to see them continue to thrive, because we know the Celtics are going to go after guys like DeJounte Murray. We know they're going to go after Clint Capela and try to limit Clint on the offensive glass and the defensive glass, of course. And we want to see how they continue to defend, because as I mentioned, the Celtics have a team that anybody can go off on any given night. And so they're going to have quite a few guys back who missed that first game on Monday, including, you know, potentially Jrue Holiday, and Derek White is not even on the injury report, and he missed that game, and he's been what I would say is a Hawks killer, just because the way that he can rip their defense apart, it has been kind of cool to watch in some ways. Obviously, if you're a Hawks fan, it's not. But if you're a lover of basketball, you can truly appreciate the game that Derek White brings to the Celtics. But yeah, the Celtics are definitely going to be out for blood, and especially if you have a guy like Jrue Holiday coming back, who is a what I like to call a gnat on the ball, it's going to make defense tough, particularly for, as we mentioned, some of those younger guys who've gotten some minutes as of late. So, oh, and I didn't even mention Dylan Windler and how well he played in Wednesday night's game against the Trailblazers, and how, you know, he didn't miss a shot in his first 8 minutes, 7 minutes of the game. And that's huge. And if he's a guy that continues to, you know, warm up, again, maybe he can find a home with the Hawks, but he's in kind of a similar predicament as Trent Forrest had earlier in the year. So two-way guys can play a Mac or can be active, not even play, but they can only be active, meaning dressed in uniform for a maximum of 50 games. And if you guys remember, he signed with the Hawks at the beginning of March, and he came over from New York's and LA and played and was active for several games for them. So I think he's in the single digits as far as number of games active that the Hawks can have him. And so I think that number does reset when the postseason begins. And, you know, fortunately for the Hawks, they only have 9 games left in the regular season. So it could work out, and it could end up not being a worry for the Hawks, particularly if Jalen Johnson, who was supposed to be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days as of last week, that number should be coming up soon. And then they had plans to reevaluate Kobe Bufkin and AJ Griffin. So the Hawks could be seeing a few guys come back before, you know, they have to worry about Dylan Windler's number of active games. So yeah, it's going to be a tough battle for the Hawks on Thursday night, but I know you fans are going to be tuning in, or did tune in, because this was recorded on Thursday morning. And I just wanted to make sure, as far as fans go, I continue to thank all of you for being with us in this show. I know there've been some ups and downs with how the show has been formatted, but I'm still new. This is only my second year on the beat, and we're still figuring things out. And it's been really fun to grow into this. I've never had my own podcast before I joined the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And so I appreciate you guys sticking with me and giving me the space to get better and to improve on how I provide you guys content and information about this team. And I wanted to make sure that I gave a shout out to at DJ Yogi, who I met and had the opportunity to meet on Wednesday night against the Trailblazers. And I wanted to make sure that I really tell you how much I appreciate you, you know, sharing your experience about listening to the podcast. And I look forward to meeting more of you at games and throughout the season, you know, next year and everything like that. So thank you guys for sticking with me. And please don't forget to keep rating, keep reviewing, keep following, keep sharing, and subscribe to the show. That's really what helps us to grow. I'm Lauren Williams, and thank you for listening to the Hawks Report from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.